to whom honor is due. It's one of the reasons we remember, amen? So even at the Lord's table, we're honoring and remembering His sacrifice. And then Jesus said this in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You know, on Memorial Day, that's what we're actually remembering. Not only those who serve, but who those who gave their life, you know, for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. So I always try to do this. I know many of you, I've heard you do this, but I think it's always an honorable thing when you see someone to tell, if you know they've served or if they're in uniform, just to say thank you for your service, you know, and just to honor them for that. I just don't really realize, I don't know, it grieves my heart, but maybe in the future more and more people will look back and they'll go, wow, the freedoms we let get away from us. And then think of the people who gave their life so we could have it and to enjoy it. So that's why we so much need revival in this land. Anyway, I'm not trying to go overly patriotic or overly religious about it, but I'm telling you, we need to take the time to remember those who gave their lives and their freedoms for our freedoms and gave them, well, they gave up their freedom. They gave up their freedom so we could have freedoms. And I know when I think about holidays, so many times the holidays are all about gatherings and cookouts and barbecues, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I know this is the big holiday, I guess, that kicks off the summer vacation season, as we can see. And it's the big weekend to do that. I think it's a double whammy with all the COVID. Everybody's, you know, last year nobody did anything.
Right.
And so now it's like suddenly, you know, this is our chance to break out. You know, it's the time to break out of here, you know, and to all of our friends. So anyway, but I would like, if we could we just take the time to honor those who served and died? Could we just stand up in their honor? And I just want to pray and just ask you to join me in prayer this morning, and all of you at home, if you would. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today. We are grateful for the men and the women of the U.S. military. We're grateful for their service and their sacrifice. And we remember that this day. Truly, freedom is never free. And to all of those, Lord, who have sacrificed their very lives, we give thanks to you for all of them this day. And I pray, Lord, may the freedom and the liberties that they served, fought, and even died for, may those freedoms and liberties continue to remain strong and intact in this nation, I pray. And that we will honor and respect. And today, Lord, we choose to honor and respect. And we remember these men and these women. And we speak the blessing of shalom over each of their families and all their friends and their loved ones who are thinking of them today. We release the shalom of Jesus over them right now. Let your shalom reside on this nation, we pray, Lord. In Jesus, our Lord, today, we honor you. Because, Lord, you laid down your life to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the ultimate of freedoms in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that today, that only you can bring. We pray these things today in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Yeah. Wow, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a
true story.
That's an adrenaline pumper there. Hacksaw Ridge, that is a good movie. Yeah. Hallelujah. And by the way, I would not recommend that with small children.
No.
Maybe not any children. I don't know. It's a tough one. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to bring you a word today. Amen. I'm believing a lot of people are going to hear this word, even after, even for those who are out of town, that sometime during this week, people will give this one a listen. May have to revisit some things, but I know the Lord wanted me to share on this today. So if we could, let's get on into the word today. By the way, there will not be a corporate prayer gathering this week. The team's heading out to the Apache Res, so there will be a service here next Sunday. So, but we, you know, the team's heading out, so please lift up the team in prayer. We're going up to the Cedar Creek area of the Apache White Mountain. It's a conglomeration of all the AG churches that are planted in the White Mountain Apache tribe. They have a joint camp meeting thing, and we're going to be there ministering to the kids and stuff there on this upcoming week. So please lift up the team in prayer, not only for traveling safe, but let's just believe for great fruitfulness. Amen. We need to see a revival, especially among our children and our youth. Would you agree?
Yes.
And so let's agree for that. We're going to see that this week.
Yes.
That's why we're doing it. And we're believing God for something special. Amen. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 13:12. I know you probably know the verse before I read it. Hope deferred makes what? The heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Now notice that. Basically, you're either going to be becoming fulfilled by your desires being fulfilled, you're going to gain life, or you're going to live life always hope deferred. I mean, hope deferred is not fun. Because it really, the longer it goes, it does make you sick.
Yeah.
It makes you sick spiritually. In the season of hoping, what we have to understand though, if you don't ever activate your faith, you're just hoping. Amen? Because faith is what's the substance of things hoped for. So a lot of times the reason we stay in a heart sick type state is because we've never really activated faith, and we also must endure in our faith for the things we're hoping for until those things become desires fulfilled. I don't know about you, but that's what I want, right? I want desires fulfilled in my life. And if not, again, we'll become heart sick. And sadly, can we be honest? Many people in the church are heart sick. And that's why a lot of people have pulled back, or they've gotten lukewarm, or they've gotten whatever. There's a lot of reasons that can lead to that. But what's important is not only that we activate our faith and that we begin well, but I want to be able to finish well. Amen? I don't want to just get a little faith thing that I believe for here and there. I don't know about you, but I want to finish my life and my assignment well for God. And to finish well, we're going to need endurance. Amen? But we're also going to need the times of refreshing to come from His presence as we've been enjoying the day. But most importantly, we have to have a consecrated heart. You got to have a consecrated heart. Because I'll be honest with you, I've been at times when my heart was not really that consecrated, but yet I was still enjoying the refreshing of His presence, for example. And I knew what He called me to do. But something special happens when we consecrate our hearts unto the Lord. Look at Psalm 37:4 with me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Everybody say, in the Lord.
In the Lord.
And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now notice that. So when it comes to faith, here's the thing. We need to understand that how important desire is. You know, a lot of times we know we should believe for something, but it's a whole other thing to desire it. Because that's where passion and where motivation comes in. When we're believing for something, we have a desire to see that happen. I've been asking the Lord to give me more of a desire to see a harvest. Give me more of a desire to see revival. Yeah. Right? Give me more of a desire to see change. And a lot of times we can become, you know, weighted down by the things of life and, again, the delay of things and hope deferred. And we kind of lose the passion for what we once had. And I think we just simply need to pray and ask the Lord to give it to us. Lord, fire me up. Amen. Light my fire again. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So the word delight here, by the way, is to be soft or yielded towards. Like if you were delighting, then what you're doing is, it's not just that you're overjoyed with a person or a situation, but you're yielded to it. Does that make sense? So to delight in the Lord, and notice what He says, He will give us the desires of our heart. And the meaning of that is, if we will be yielded to the Lord and find Him delightful, then what delights His heart will start to delight our heart. We'll actually want and desire what God desires. Amen? And I believe this is the key to the spirit of faith, so that we're desiring what God wants. Jesus said clearly, abundant life that He's come to give us, and that give us life and that more abundantly. And here's the thing. Abundant life is found according when you're living your life according to His purpose. How many of you figure that out? Because
yeah.
I used to think it was just, you know, I got an answer to a prayer. Again, here or there, nothing wrong with that. I grieved for things. I got that job. I got this happened. I got healed or whatever. And that's fine. But the abundant life really is found in an overflow of life that came to you when you were saved. Right? You got life. But He went on to say life and that life more abundant. And the abundant life really to know that to overflow, it's always geared toward purpose. And if it's only geared toward what I can get a blessing out of, then I kind of miss the point. And I want to live toward purpose, and I know you do too. So in doing that, that's where we really find out what abundant life really is. It's to live in life's overflow. And it really does flow. I found in my life, and some of you can probably agree with me, but I have found when I live according to my plans, and if my plans aren't aligned with His, then I find that I don't live in life's overflow. Because I'm just kind of doing what Rick wants and desires for Rick's comfort or whatever it may be, and I can miss out on what God has. So with that in mind, I want to take you to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Here in the book of Joshua, Joshua, obviously this is written after Moses' death. Moses has died, but how many of you know the original vision given to Moses had not been fulfilled fully, right? They're not in the promised land. They're still on the wrong side of the Jordan River, right? And they're camped out in this desert, and they've been there for 40 years. And Moses dies. Now, Joshua, you got to understand, Joshua was a dual generation guy. Because Joshua served as a young man to Moses and saw all the miracles. He saw the hand of God. He saw the authority and the blessing and the favor that was upon Moses' life, right? And then Joshua, suddenly God comes to him and says something that he clearly already knew, but it's really important for him to hear it. And sometimes we need to hear it. How many of you know sometimes you need to forget what's behind you? You need to realize that's dead, that's over, that's done. Now, let's do what I've called you to do. And it requires consecration. Look what it says here, Joshua 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, what? Arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Now notice that. He's speaking to this generation that he'll be the same with them as he was in that generation. Are y'all seeing that? Really important. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now get this, here it is again. Just as I have been with Moses, what does it say? I will be with you. Do you see that? I will not fail you nor forsake you. Does that sound familiar? Remember, that's what our Lord said. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you to the end of the age. We need to see the remnant understands that. That the God that we serve, He is the same with us as He was with generations past. He's the same God with us as He was with the early church. So what we need to accept is the challenge of the fact that maybe we're not as consecrated as they were to the purposes of God. Now look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your, what, your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, everybody say then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do you know that's a command? To not be in fear and to be strong and courageous is a command. Yep. Amen? That's why the Bible says over and over, fear not. It doesn't say, oh, I hope you don't get into fear. No, don't fear. Reject fear. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. I mean, those are powerful nine verses, are they not? Incredibly powerful, and they so apply to our lives. Right. So what happens right after this? Joshua sends word throughout the camp of the people to start making preparations and provisions for themselves. Because get this, suddenly they get this word from their leader. 3 days we're crossing over. Yeah. You got to understand something. They've been living here 40 years. Yeah. Right? We're getting ready to break camp. Hallelujah. And we're getting ready to cross over to possess the land that the Lord their God was given to them. And as we know, Joshua sent these two prophetic spies. If you remember, initially, Joshua was one of the prophetic spies. He and Caleb were the only two spies that came back 40 years prior with a good report, right? The other 10, you know, sunk the ship, so to say. And so he sends two prophetic spies to spy out the land, especially to Jericho. And of course, interestingly, the inhabitants of the land knew they were there and were looking for them. But this harlot named Rahab, a woman of faith, took them into her home and kept them. But there's something interesting she said to them while they were staying with her. And she said, the people of the land have heard the testimony of the Lord regarding you. We heard about how He dried up the Red Sea and then how He destroyed Pharaoh's army. And how, you know, and she's describing, she goes, now get this, we've heard that testimony, and because of it, it said all the inhabitants of the land were fearful of them. Isn't that interesting? They were, the testimony of what God had done was bringing fear to them. One of these days, these guys are going to come over here, right? One of these days, these guys are going to come over here and take this land. And we've heard about what God did before. Isn't that interesting? I'm convinced of this. Our enemy is more fearful of us when we're consecrated to do what God's called us to do. He's more fearful of us than we are of Him. Amen? And we shouldn't be fearful of Him anyway, but He's more fearful of us because He knows the testimony. The Bible says clearly, what? Demons, what? They believe. Demons believe and they what? They tremble. They tremble in fear because they know the word of the Lord is true. Are y'all getting this? It's really important. Now, at the end of 3 days, the officers went back through the camp and they told the people. Now, I love this. He said, when you see those Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan, when you see them, I love what it says. It says, set out from your place. In other words, you're breaking camp, right? And go after it. I was meditating on that this week. I thought, we need to be a people, when God's glory moves in any direction, we need to go after it. Amen? We need to be a people, when God's doing something, we need to make a move in that direction. Amen? We need to be a people who go after the glory and the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah? I don't know about you, I wouldn't have wanted to just step up to those... By the way, Jordan was at flood stage at this time. Absolutely at flood stage. And it wasn't until, if you'll remember, the sandals and the robes of the priest touched the water and got into the water, then the water. So you had to step out into faith. And they were going to be following these guys. And I don't know about you, but I mean, that's intimidating. Yeah. I mean, the Red Sea was even probably more intimidating because it was a sea. Yeah. But the Jordan could not be crossed at flood stage. No way it could be crossed. People have tried to, you know, secularize it and try to explain it away, how they got over. No, no, no. This was a miracle. In fact, it's in Scripture that it was stopped about, I think, a mile upstream. The water was stopped so that it wouldn't flood and they were able to cross over. It's an amazing miracle. But here's the thing I want you to see. In Joshua 3, verse 5, one more verse in Joshua. It said, Joshua said to the people, and this would be on the evening of their crossing over. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves for what? Tomorrow the Lord will what? Do wonders among you. I love that. Today's consecration is determining tomorrow's wonders.
Amen?
Amen? But you got to have today's consecration. Are y'all with me? To consecrate means to be set apart, simply. You set apart for a purpose. But obviously for us, it's a consecration of our heart. To be set apart unto the purposes of God. It's a steadfast commitment with no turning back. Because once they crossed over, there was going to be no turning back. Nothing would ever be the same. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to do this trick again. Once you guys cross over, you got to be all in. You can't get over there and go, you know, I didn't really want to do this. I really like living in the desert. You know, no, yeah, you can't do that. You know, there's no bridge somewhere. There's no tunnel. I mean, you know, you're going to go, you're there. You got to be committed. And I think sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's sometimes why churches and ministries don't really ever catapult forward. It's because, you know, we've got to get to that place where we're willing to burn the ships, as they say, and keep going. To be redeemed from their old life. If you remember, they had already done this before. The Red Sea, Paul wrote, was a type of baptism. When they went through the Red Sea, there wasn't going to be any going back to slavery in Egypt after that. Amen? In fact, their enemy was cut off from them forever after that miracle. But this is another type of a baptism in the River Jordan. Many believe it would speak of the Holy Spirit baptism. You have the baptism of conversion and all that and free from slavery. But anyway, not here to make that point today, even though I could, but that's not the point. Anyway. But they were going to have to cross through the Jordan, and there was no turning back. Now, there's another word for consecrate, and actually, you'll find this interesting. It's the word to be holy. To be holy actually means to be set apart. A lot of people think of holiness as only being separated from sin. That's an aspect of it. But actually, you're not fully in holiness if you're not consecrated to God. You may have cleaned your act up a lot, but that doesn't mean you're holy in the sense of how God's holy, not only because He's pure, but He's holy because He's God. Right. He's completely God. He's holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, God, which makes Him holy. Amen? And so it's really important. So walking in holiness is more than I've cleaned my act up and I'm trying to keep my heart pure. That's important, but that's not the whole thing. If we're not separated unto the Lord, we're not completed in holiness. To be separated unto the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm for your glory. I'm your vessel. Amen? And I found in my life, when I'm not consecrated or holy unto the Lord, I'm one of those guys that Jesus would have warned about. I mean, that John the Baptist warned about. You need to show me some fruit in keeping with your repentance. And I think without consecration, we don't keep with repentance very well. Amen? Because, you know, we repent, and next thing you know, we're repenting of that again later. And we've all been caught in that cycle before and about certain things. But the beauty of it is the power of consecration that actually will bring us through. And there's a grace for that. I think there's a grace for it. I think a lot of times we look at our own determination, but I don't know about you, but my determination always lets me down. Yeah. I think I'm a pretty hard-headed, determined guy. Yeah. I don't care how rigid you may think you are and immovable, usually those are the ones that fall the hardest. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. Because you really find out, you know, I can't do this. And there's a grace. And I think we ought to ask for a grace. We're going to pray that today. That God would grant us a grace not only to repent, but to be consecrated. Amen. Under the purposes of God. I want to be used by God. How about you?
Yes.
I want to be used by God. A truly consecrated heart also won't just sit around and think about the past. Now, I don't know what Joshua was doing, you know, before God said, by the way, Moses is dead, but I've got a plan for you. You're going to finish his job. It'll be just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And we know all of it. We just read that. And I'm not saying Joshua was not interested in his future, but I believe God, it was a wake-up call. I mean, that's what the prophetic word does mean. It gives us a way. And I believe God's wanting to wake us up as a church and as a people and shake us up a little bit and understand we can't live in the past. It's okay to celebrate past triumphs and talk about the testimony of the Lord. But at some point, we're going to have to get consecrated unto the Lord.
Right.
Amen? If we're truly going to do that. And if we do that, guess what? You got to be willing to break camp. You got to let go of some things that need to let go of and make a move into something even that you've never moved in before. And that's the powerful thing about revival. Almost every time you talk about even the leaders of a revival, they'll talk about how God used them in a way He had never used them before. And I think that's what's like these bodies of water crossings. It was like we're going into territory that we'll never be able to go back, and God's showing us something new. But He always leads us through the desert, so let's don't camp there any longer. Amen. We've already talked about how that's rebellion against the Lord. We've got to consecrate our hearts. Now, Paul, in writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he talked about vessels. He said there were vessels of dishonor and there were vessels of honor. And he said the vessels of dishonor, we tend to think, well, dishonor, that's a dishonorable vessel. But really, the only meaning of that is this. It's just a common vessel. It's not meaning it's not a vessel or that it's not even something that's needed necessarily. It's just not special. Are you with me? So when we think of dishonor, it just means it's not honorable in light of what it means to be an honorable vessel unto the Lord. When you're an honorable vessel unto the Lord, here's the thing, you're useful to the master. That's what Paul said. Useful to the master. And so that's the kind of vessel we ought to desire to be. Now, I think where I struggle is there's times maybe I've prayed, I thought, Lord, I want to be useful to you. I want to be your vessel. But then I feel like I failed. I feel like I missed it. Or I feel like, you know, am I going to be forever discarded or be considered just only worthy of being dishonorable type vessel? And then I know the Lord speaks to me and He says, through the power of consecration, you can retrieve that because your gifts and callings are without repentance. I'm not going to take them back. I still want you to be my honorable vessel. Amen? Some of you at home, receive that. God wants you to be His honorable vessel. Literally, the temple of the Holy Spirit is what God wants us to be. Here's the thing. Our sanctification is by Jesus' blood. Now stay with me. I'm not trying to throw out all these words. But sanctification is by Jesus' blood. Do we agree?
Amen.
Amen. It qualifies us to live and serve as unto the Lord. Amen? My Bible college degree doesn't qualify me. My church attendance doesn't qualify me. What qualifies me is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Amen.
And of course, a consecrated heart. But the sanctification is what leads to having a consecrated heart. I like to put it this way. To be consecrated is to be connected to the Lord in two areas, in relationship and in purpose. Relationship and purpose. And they really go hand in hand. But that's how you get connected to God when you consecrate your heart and you say, Lord, it's all about you. Even Jesus spoke of it. He said, really, I think consecration at its core is worship. At its core, it's about worship. Now, I'm not talking about a worship service or a worship song. I'm talking about a worship life. And at its core, it's worship. Because what did Jesus say? If you love me, you're going to know me. But also, you what? You will obey my commands. You're going to walk with me. You're going to, you know, because you love me. And so worship is at the very foundation of what it means to be consecrated. The greatest challenge we face is maintaining a steadfast spirit. Will we agree? Maintaining that. It's one thing to have one, but to maintain it, which is faithfulness to all of His purposes. Many begin well with good intentions, I've done it many, many times, but we fall away for various reasons. We fall away because of hope deferred, right? We become heart sick. We fall away many times because of sin or bondage in our lives, right? And we fall away, let's be honest, more than any of those two, I think most people fall away just because they're incredibly distracted.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, as blessed as we are in this nation, as blessed as we are to live the way we live, no generation has ever lived like we get to live. Right. But there's a million and one distractions. Even the technology that we think, oh, how do we ever live without this stuff? Actually, it's a major distraction. You know, I don't know if any of you are watching that show, The Chosen. Awesome show about Jesus' life and calling his disciples to come serve and follow him. And they had to be consecrated. These guys had to walk away from things. Walk away from this fishing business, from tax collecting, whatever it may be, and follow Jesus and just go. And he wouldn't even tell them where they're going the next day sometimes. Right? But you never saw any scenes in this movie, and I would highly recommend the movie. It's not a movie, it's a series. It's very, very powerful. Really well done. But you don't see Jesus and disciples sitting around staring at their cell phones all the time. You know what I mean? They were consecrated to purpose. Amen? But we are very distracted people. Let's just be honest.
They sit around the campfire.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't say that as a prophetic word, that we're a distracted people. Amen. I don't say that. I'm not like wanting to seal the deal. There's no way we can get away from it. I do believe we can. Amen? Hallelujah. Even when I was a youth pastor, we first started all the youth trips out here from Tennessee, out here to Arizona. I remember back in the day, we didn't have the phone distraction. There were other distractions, but but nothing like that. I mean, the kids mainly just slept in the van. You know, and I had to get into some romance distractions, you know, that kind of thing in the youth group. But, you know, but as far as this obsession with video games and staring at devices all the time, there was none of that. I could actually point to something beautiful on the horizons and the kids would actually look at it. Whereas now I'll say, isn't that amazing, that rock formation? And the kids are like this. They don't even look up.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, I'll Google it later. Yeah, a lot clearer picture on Google. Yeah. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus, help us. Would you all agree with me that David was a man after God's own heart?
Amen.
We all know that's clearly in Scripture. But you know David fell away from his consecration.
He did.
He didn't prioritize the will of God, and it got him in trouble. We all know that. And I'm not making fun of David, because I could fit right in David's mold like any of us could, right? But we know what happened, and we're not going to turn to the passage. But it says in 2 Samuel that David, it said this, it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle. So how many know there's a time to fight and there's a time to be at peace? Amen. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck. I mean, we all know that. There's a time when kings, you have that responsibility to go to war. And he didn't go to war. Instead, he sent his men to go fight and he stayed home. And in the evening, how many know the evening can be your biggest downfall?
Temptation.
Late in the day, you're tired, you're weary, it's dark. It's one of the biggest downfalls for many, many a man. And then he rose up and began to walk on the rooftop of the king's palace. And he looked over and we know the story. He saw Bathsheba, a very beautiful, gorgeous woman, bathing.
Yep.
Number one, he shouldn't have been looking at her.
Right.
And I'm not here to blame her. I don't know. All I know is that would have never happened if he'd been on the battlefield.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
It would have never happened if he hadn't opened up that page on his computer.
That's right.
Right? That would have never happened if we hadn't stepped into that place. Let's just be honest, guys.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But David repented. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
He repented. He fasted. He prayed. We talked about it a few weeks ago from Psalm 51, that powerful prayer of repentance. But even in that prayer, if you'll remember, he didn't pray to merely be cleansed. He did, but that's not all he prayed. David prayed to be restored to his consecration for what God had anointed him to do. He asked for that, and God granted him that. Remember, he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, do not take your Holy Spirit from me," right? He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." You know what? When you don't feel like worshiping, you don't feel like praising, you don't feel like attending church, you don't feel... ask God, restore the joy of your salvation to me. Amen? Hallelujah. We need joy. Hallelujah. But then he prayed this. If you'll remember, he said, "Sustain me with a willing spirit to do your will." I mean, we need that. That's a grace. See, that's what I'm saying. That's a grace. He was saying, "Sustain me, consecrate me to do what you called me to do." And he said, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you." In other words, David knew that's my calling. So he's going in a moment of getting cleansed, but the hold to that cleansing and the walk in true holiness and true consecration was going to require him to get back to what God had called him to do. Amen? So I don't know about you. When you look at what he did, there ain't anybody here today or listening today that could say that what you've done would keep you from ever being able to not be restored. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody can be restored if your heart's right before God. Beloved, nothing has changed though. True disciples still have to make that same decision, don't we? We have to make that same decision. And guess what? As life happens, and it will, life happens, does it not? I prefer that to the other bumper sticker. Life happens, and you're going to have to make a decision. Amen? Many, many times to return to consecration. More than once, we're all going to have to do that. And ultimately, I believe we know the words. It is to do this, to lay down our life. Amen? Amen? I'm going to live for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake. Amen? I'm going to take up my cross and follow the Lord. And when you make that commitment, and sometimes you got to make that commitment daily. Paul said, I do this daily. I die to this daily. To live a consecrated life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's not a shouting message, but it's good. Hallelujah. But, sorry, I just pushed a button and my page decided to tell me where to go next. But David was restored. And what I love about David's story, it says in Acts 13, it says this, and when David was laid to rest, he served the purposes of God for his generation. Whew. Thank God for restoration. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for mercy. But thank God also for restoring us. Hallelujah. You don't become damaged goods for the rest of your Christian life. Right? Yeah, well, you're going to be on the B team now. Well, now I'm thinking about maybe you'll be on the C team. You're not ever going to get in the game, or so to speak. And we need to really be careful, because that's the enemy lying to us. Amen? Amen. To return to consecration is something we have to do. But never forget this. Our purity before the Lord is because of His grace and the redemptive power of His blood. That's the only way we're pure. And it's not my performance. And that takes the heat off. It really does. When you realize that your purity comes from your walk with God through the power of His blood and His grace, and it was no merit of your own, then suddenly you realize my purity is not based upon my performance. Everybody with me? But it will impact my performance in the sense of my faithfulness and my consecration to what God's called. He forgives, He cleanses, He restores, and He sanctifies. So if I could put it this way, one more, we won't look at the verse, but it says in Hebrews, get this, that the blood of Jesus, get this, cleanses our consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. Notice that. I wish I could quote the verse to you, but I promise it's in Hebrews. He cleanses our consciousness. How many of we need that? From what? Dead works, okay, doing the wrong thing, to serving the living God. And that's what consecration does. It's that process. And it's the sanctification. So I like to put it this way. Sanctification leads you to consecration.
Yeah.
Amen? So you can live a consecrated life before the Lord. How many are glad He's the God of second chances?
Yeah.
I found out He's the God of third and fourth and fifth chances. Anybody with me? He's the God of restoration. When I think about end time prophetic fulfillments, we would talk about that's going to take place before the Lord comes. When I think about that, none of that could have ever been possible to take place if He wasn't a God of restoration. There's no way. Even the prophets that we so love and adore and hold up with high esteem, they wouldn't qualify either.
That's right.
Elijah just asked God, let's let it in right here, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Right. And so we got to understand that's the heart of God. And with that in mind, I want to take you to one more passage. That's Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, while you're turning there on your phones, they need to put an app on the phones where I could hear pages turn when you're using it. Look at Isaiah 11:10. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day. Notice that, on that day that the Lord will again, here it is, recover the second time, hallelujah, with His hand the remnant of His people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, and Hamath. and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up, notice this, a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Some of these passages, I really do believe, we're starting to see the possibility of their fulfillment in our day. Why? Because of Israel? Because of the work of Israel? You'll notice he's gathering the outcast of Israel, but he's also lifting up a standard to all the nations. Right? And so there's never been a generation that has come to this point that we're in now. And what we've seen happen with Israel going, you know, back to their land and being a nation again. I mean, for years, I'm sure there's guys before 1948, they probably wondered, how can that ever happen? There's not even a nation of Israel anymore. Right? So, I mean, we're living in a time where we're seeing that. The fullness of the Gentiles coming. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that too far. But I'm telling you, some of these things could not even be celebrated and believed for in generations past. Even one generation back. I mean, Israel became a nation in 48, right? In 1948. And it totally shifted the game. It's like the chess pieces were totally moved at that point. And now they go, whoa, hold on a minute. And now you look over in Israel now and their prosperity and all the things God said would happen and all that's been done. And I'm like, wow. And I know I've shared other scriptures with you about that, how that ties in with the tabernacle of David, right? As the tabernacle of David comes up and all the peoples can seek the Lord. And then at the same time, he's saying, and Israel shall not ever be driven out of her land again. Hallelujah. It's exciting when you think about it. I believe we're there. I don't know if that means that I'll see it in my lifetime, but I do believe our children, our children's children will get to live it and see it. Amen? Maybe we will. I don't know. Because I plan to live to 120 if I can keep my hair. No, just kidding. Can I read that to you in a Passion Translation real quick? On that day, listen to this. Just listen to it. It's so cool. The root of Jesse will be lifted up as a miracle sign to rally the people. Everybody ready for that? Yeah. Amen? Gentiles will diligently seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. On that day, the reason I like this, he uses the modern names for these nations, okay, that we would recognize. On the day, the Lord will extend his hand a second time to restore the remnant of his people from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Ethiopia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and the coastlands of the sea. He will lift up a banner among the nations and will gather the scattered Jews and assemble the outcast of Israel from the four corners of the earth. Wow. Hallelujah! Man, this is exciting. I can't tell you how much we're seeing this prophetic alignment begin to take place. It's so exciting. And here's the thing. It impacts the remnant church. It impacts Israel. And it impacts all nations. Amen? You really can't escape the scope of this. A lot of prophetic scriptures are very particular for a geographical region. But the scope of some of these, they touch the whole thing. Amen? And this is exciting. But can I tell you, also with this is promised conflicts and trouble that ensue because of it. Hello? That's why Jesus said, don't you be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen? And don't be fearful. I have overcome the world. I've got this. Amen. God's saying, that's a word to some of you. God's got this. Amen. And so we need to live that way. Again, nearly every patriarch and every matriarch of our faith had to experience a restoration. If you read the Bible, they all did. At one point or another. So we're not disqualified. Amen. We're not disqualified if we'll consecrate our hearts. Really, it's the lack of concentration in my heart that determines whether or not I'm qualified. Has nothing to do with purity. I'm made pure. I'm sanctified in Jesus. Amen? Amen? But to be pure in the sense of the heart's consecration. Those three words, sanctification, consecration, and holy, they all are very much meaning of the same thing. And their application just has to do with how we understand theology. Amen? Absolutely. So I want you to be encouraged today for today's consecration. Amen? I want you to be encouraged because it's going to determine the wonders we see tomorrow. Amen. And I'm not letting up. I'm believing we're going to see the wonders. Right. Amen? Amen? So I want to do everything I can to be consecrated, not only as your pastor and your friend and your brother, but I want to be consecrated as a ministry. I want us to be consecrated as a church, every family to be consecrated, so that the miracles and things we're believing for will even be seen in our homes. Amen? Amen? Amen. They'll be seen in our business. In our endeavors of life. It'll be seen that the hand of God is touching us in a very favorable way. Hallelujah. Because what did Isaiah say? I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and they are for wonders. Amen? Amen? That's Isaiah 8:18, by the way. You ought to claim that over your children. I claim it over my children, my grandchildren, and all my spiritual sons and daughters. I claim it. You are for signs and wonders, every one of us. Hallelujah. So don't go rent an arena and become a healing man. That's not what I mean. It's not going to be a one-man show anymore. Hallelujah. It's going to be truly a powerful thing. So don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Our God is merciful, and He's more than willing to restore us. Hallelujah. In fact, can I tell you, when I read the Scripture, I believe it's His desire and His determination to restore us.
Yes,
I really do. I don't think it's just that He will. You know, can't remember. It seemed like I brought it up recently, maybe on a prayer night or whatever. But when the man asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me." And Jesus said, "I'm willing. Be cleansed." Very simply, be cleansed. He said, "I'm willing." And so the guy was saying, "I know you can do it. No doubt you can do it. I believe that you can do it." But, you know, it was the willingness there. But in the meaning in the Greek of that, is Jesus was saying, "It is my pleasure and desire to heal you." I mean, I need to look it up sometime in the Passion because I've not done that. I need to see, because he's really good about drawing that out. You know, the meaning, especially if you're looking at it when it was spoken in Aramaic, which brings out more of a every man's language type of way they spoke to one another. It's almost like to say, like a Chick-fil-A worker, "It's my pleasure to heal you." Amen. Had to give some props there to Angel. Yeah, Angel says that a lot now, but you know, I don't know if he means it, but he says it a lot. Oh, let's just set our desire to delight in Him. Amen. Let's set our desire to do that and ask the Lord for that grace of consecration over our lives, because I believe He desires those desires to be fulfilled in us. And when that happens, it's truly a tree of life. It's a tree of abundant life that comes to us in a powerful way. So, in closing, I want to say this. For us to see restoration and what our life, our families, our ministries are going to look like is very important. Y'all hear my heart in that? It's one thing to be consecrated for what God wants to do. It's another thing to see it. Because without a vision, the people perish. We lose our way. We need to see what it is that God has in store. In fact, I feel like the Lord wants me to communicate that to our church over these next weeks.
Yeah.
What does it really look like? We need to see what it looks like according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, and according to Revelation and how it applies to this day and age. Yeah. Right? And so I believe it's very important for us, because faith sees that which is not seen in the natural. Right? But faith sees it. And so we've got to start to see things that we don't naturally see. For example, you know, a small room, an empty room. Where is everybody? That kind of thing. You've got to see beyond that. I heard the story about Paul Youngi Cho. I think his name's now David Youngi Cho or something. Over in Korea. You know, at one time, I don't know if he still does, the world's largest church. Like I think over 750,000 people. They have more on Sunday than we do. And yeah. But his family, when he first started out, I think he got a tent or something. I can't remember. I've read a story before, and he's preaching, and it's his mom, his dad, his mother-in-law, and some kids, like 5 or 6 people. Yeah. And they said he would preach like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they asked him, I said, it's just us right now. I said, you can calm down. Why are you preaching so fervently? And so he goes, I'm not preaching to you. Because the tent, I think, seated 300. He said, I'm preaching to the 300 people that aren't in this tent yet. Isn't that good? He saw something. And I'm asking you guys to see that with me. Amen?
Amen?
Let's believe for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you today for your great love. We thank you today for the blood that sanctifies us, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from our failures, from our missteps, from our rebellion even, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you that your grace is sufficient and your mercies, Lord God, are new every morning and they never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, today. And I ask for a grace of consecration to fall upon us all, to come on our hearts, Lord God, to come upon our families, our children, our spouses, Lord God, that grace to be consecrated, a steadfastness of spirit would be upon us, Lord, that we could be sustained to do all of your will and to be faithful, to be found faithful to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just claim today that our consecration today is determining the wonders in our future. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Help us to see it, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our heart to see what you want us to see, that we can begin to walk into it as a people and as a church and in synchronization with your remnant bride throughout the earth. Lord, we want to be found faithful. Lord, I thank you right now for what we can see is happening in the world, what we can see is happening in the church and in Israel and in the nations.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, we can see the moving of your hand. We can see the chess pieces being in place, Lord. Help us, Lord, to look at the prophetic lamp always in darkness, to look at the prophetic lamp of your word and to keep our eye on you at all times. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pray with me. Jesus,
focus my heart.
I pray upon you. I honor you.
I honor you
as the vision giver,
as the dream giver.
You are the author.
You are the
authorization
of my faith.
In fact, I live
by the faith
of the Son of God.
And
I consecrate my heart today. I turn my heart today. And I ask for your grace. For
I cannot do it
in my own determination, in
my own strength.
I can only do this
by the strength that
you supply.
To finish.
To complete
the
good work you've begun in me.
I yield to you now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to bless my brothers and sisters. Bless them with a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. Bless them, Lord God, that the eyes of their heart would be open, that the ears of their heart would be open, that all of their spiritual senses would be open. Lord, I speak over this church and over this people and over all of our friends and partners. I declare dreams and visions and insight and understanding that can only come by Holy Spirit, that He would invade your life and in your consciousness in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we call out today that the power of your speaking blood would cleanse our consciousness from dead works. No more dead works. We would not see ourselves living that way any longer, but we would see ourselves as vessels of honor serving the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. It sets us apart. It sanctifies us unto you. The blood and the grace by which we serve you. We give you glory for it right now. I come against right now a spirit of condemnation. I come against a spirit of disappointment and failure and frustration. For many of you, it's in your own life with yourself. But the Lord would say to you today, I forgive you, I release you, I restore you. In a moment of grace, the Lord says, I will take off the filthy garment and put my righteous robe upon you. Hallelujah. And put my ring on your finger. And I'll give you sandals of my purpose for your life, says the Lord. To walk with me in this mission that I've laid out before you. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
We receive that right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you all and keep you. May the Lord cause His very countenance to shine upon yours. And may He grant you shalom, peace, to be upon you now in the mighty name of Jesus. You receive that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of you online, we love you. Again, hope by the time you watch this, you've probably made your safe journey back home. But we love you and miss you. We'll see you next Sunday here at Freedom Gate. Please remember to lift up the missions team this week and pray in agreement with us for a move of the Spirit of God. And let's have a move of the Spirit of God on Sunday morning next week too. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Love y'all. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.